loving others. If you know that God loves the world, right? John 3:16, for God so loved the world. If you know that God loves the world and the people in the world, then it just comes to a common conclusion that we as his followers should also love the world and the people in the world. A genuine heart for others, a genuine response to that love that God wants for us to be displayed in us and through us, to know him that way. See, it's not easy to love everyone. And we'll see as we go through the scriptures that it's not just about that mushy, fuzzy love, but it's more that commitment to our brothers and sisters, that desire to see the best for others. That's the love that God wants us to have this morning. It doesn't come naturally, but it's something that we've been called to do as believers, right? To love. Maybe sometimes we miss the mark. Maybe sometimes we fall short in our love for each other, even within the church. But let that not be something that builds a wedge in us. Let us just realize that that's just how we are as humans, that we can't love the way God loves all the time. In fact, in this same book, in chapter 4, John will tell us, he who does not love does not know God, for God is love. So if you're here this morning and you find yourself in a place, you know, I don't really feel like I love. I don't feel like I have the ability to love. Not only the ones I care about, not only the ones that are in my life, my family, my friends, but what about the world out there? I'm called to love them too. See, the reality is you can't love them of yourself. It has to be God's love that's in you, right? God is love. That's our source. That's our resource. That's our pool, if you will, that we must swim in and absorb the love of God, and then it radiates off of us. Later on, John will say, if God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. God forbid that there are people in the body of Christ that don't talk to each other because of something they heard or something they didn't like. It happens in the body of Christ that there's these frictions in the body of Christ. These things shouldn't be, my friends. We should take the time to sit down and talk with each other and say, hey, listen, I've got a few questions. I feel like you did this or you responded in this way and you've hurt my feelings and I don't understand it. We're supposed to be brothers. We're supposed to be sisters. We're supposed to be the family of God. But no, what happens is the enemy separates us, and the enemy builds that hardness in our hearts. Say, oh, that person, they did that. I heard they did that, and I'm not even going to talk to them about it. Hear it all the time in the church. So-and-so doesn't talk to so-and-so anymore because XYZ. And XYZ is always wrong. See, there's things we hold in our hearts and we hold in our minds that we shouldn't. We should deal with these things. Confront them for face value. We're especially called to love our fellow believers, those who are in the body of Christ. Listen, those who have been redeemed by the blood of Jesus. We're to love them, to look at them with that aspect, with those eyes. You are precious in God's sight. And for me not to love you, for me not to respond to you, is really telling God, you don't know what you're talking about, God. He loves everyone. John will deal with these issues in this next section so that we can be sure that we know God and that we're equipped with the power and the love of God and the Holy Spirit. Do you want that this morning? Do you need that in your life? Just this morning, you know, I've been telling you, I've been texting other Calvary pastors in this area, encouraging to teach the word with the power of the Holy Spirit. And I usually email it, text that out in the morning to about 8 other pastors, and I got one back this morning. Please pray for me. I'm feeling tired and discouraged. And you know what? That, for a pastor to know he's discouraged broke my heart. To step in the pulpit feeling discouraged, to feel ill-equipped, trust me, it happens a lot. To feel ill-equipped to share the power of God's word. And so I just prayed back, Lord Jesus, fill this man with the joy of the Lord. Let the joy of the Lord be his strength. Anoint him with your power. That is my prayer on Saturday nights. I can assure you, God wakes me up at 3 a.m. and I can never get back to sleep. So if you're up Saturday or Sunday morning at 3 and you need to call, I'm available. See who does that. See who does that. But what happens is God wakes me up and he just starts, The message is in my head. The message is, and my prayer is always, God, anoint me with your Holy Spirit. God, anoint me with your Holy Spirit. Fill me with your Holy Spirit. Empower me with your Holy Spirit. Now listen, I say this not to tell you, hey, your pastor prays. Well, good. He should. But to encourage you, you have the same ability. You have the same thing available to you. I don't know what's coming up this week for you, but God does. And if it's scary, if it's unsure, if you don't know what the outcome's going to be, you need to pray, God, give me the Holy Spirit. God, anoint me with the Holy Spirit. He promises to give the Holy Spirit to those who ask. Do you know that? Do you believe that? Do you ask for that? I hope so. And if you do, those that are nodding going, yes, they know this experience. They know what it means for the Holy Spirit to come into their lives and reveal things to them. And again, just like this 25-year-old girl, we could be praying, God, show me things I would not be able to see with my eyes. And God would say, this, pay attention to that person. Notice this person. God can see. He knows what's going on. And we need to stay connected to him. Look with me at verse 3, 1 John chapter 2, because I'm starting to blab. Verse 3, 1 John chapter 2. Now by this we know that we know him, if we keep his commandments. He who says, I know him, and does not keep his commandments, is a liar, and the truth is not in him. But whoever keeps his word, truly the love of God is perfected in him. By this we know that we are in him. He who says he abides in him ought himself also to walk just as he walked. Brethren, I write no new commandment to you, but an old commandment, which you have heard from the beginning. The old commandment is the word which you heard from the beginning. Again, a new commandment I write to you, which thing is true in him and in you, because the darkness is passing away and the true light is already shining. He who says he is in the light and hates his brother is in darkness until now. He who loves his brother abides in the light, and there is no cause for stumbling in him. In our last verse, but he who hates his brother is in darkness and walks in darkness and does not know where he is going, because the darkness has blinded his eyes. To know him is to love others. Did you catch it? To know him is to love others. So the first thing we see that John tells us in verse 3, now by this we know that we know him, if we keep his commandments. This is kind of the litmus test for a Christian. Do I know God? Am I a follower of Jesus Christ? Am I committed to my Heavenly Father? Do I keep his commandments? Do I follow his word? Do I do what the word says? Now, the question would be, well, what are the commands? What is God commanding? See, the thing is, it's written inside the Word of God, and this is how we discover his commandments. Certainly the ones in the Old Testament, but certainly the ones that Jesus Christ spoke himself as he came in his ministry for 3 years with those apostles. He spoke the commandments, how to live, how to respond. He brought clarity, did he not, to the Old Testament laws. He brought further understanding of what they are, and we'll look at those if we have time today. But to know him is to know his word, if you keep his commandments. Notice again it says in verse 4, if he who says I know him and does not keep his commandments is a liar. This is lip service that John's talking about. If you're just going to say you know God, or you're just a follower of God, or yeah, I gave my life to God, or I got baptized in 1990, but you don't keep his commands, the Bible says you're a liar. Strong words, wouldn't you agree? Strong reminder for us this morning that we need to know him and know his word. If you study his word and read the scriptures, you're going to find out how to live your life. You're going to find out how to treat your children. You're going to find out how to respond to your spouse, how to deal with that boss that causes you trouble. You're going to find those things within the scriptures. And that's how you know if you know him, is if you're being obedient to the word. Certainly new believers have a lot to learn. But even young Christians can know something about God and begin to live that. I don't know about you, but when I first got saved, man, there was a longer list of things I needed to fix than things I already had fixed. It's a long list of work that God has to do, but he does it, doesn't he? In time, you understand and you learn. I love to minister to people the Word of God, the situations that they're going through in their life, to be able to speak into their lives and say, have you considered this? The Word of God says that. And they're like, oh, okay, yeah, they get it. It's a blessing to see people understand and embrace the Word of God and want to adjust their lives. God forbid we try to wrap the Word around our life. We need to wrap our life around the Word of God. And you only know that if you study it, if you share it, if you receive it. You've heard me say this many times. If we in this generation don't know the Word of God, shame on us. Shame on us. Podcasts, internet, books, pads, all kinds of devices that we can receive and understand and study the Word of God. You can't stand before God and go, well, I just didn't know how to figure you out. We have every resource available to us. I bet if we have something, one day we're walking around and we think of some topic, what do? We Google it, right? Google it. And by the way, Google is a very good Bible resource. It's the best. Sometimes I can't find it in my Bible app. I go to Google and there it is. I know a scripture. I just know a couple of the words. You ever do that? Type in the words in Google. Bam, there it is. See, Google's not that evil. It's got a Bible. But you got to take that time to do it, don't you? You got to set that time aside. If you think that time is just going to be there, no, you're going to be mistaken. You got to take the time to know God and to study the Word of God. And let me tell you, confession this morning again for the pastor. Sometimes I sit down to study for Sundays or for my Wednesday night Bible study, and it just absolutely makes me laugh when my eyes start getting heavy. It's like, oh, I'm trying to study the Word of God, and I'm falling asleep. Why is that? Well, number one, we're so busy that whenever we sit down, we start to fall asleep. Number two, I'm probably getting older and I need more naps. I don't know what that means. But number three, I think it's spiritual. I'm sitting down to the Word of God. I'm saying, God, reveal deep truth for me and through me so that I can understand and convey it to the people of God. And the enemy's going, night, night. So I get up, I get a cup of coffee, it's all right, and I pray, Lord, Holy Spirit, keep my eyes open. And he does. Again, asking the Holy Spirit to find that time for you to get to know God. It's available to you. Can't force you, but it's available to you. Bible studies, times together. To know God is to know his commandments. My wife and I, we've been married 25 years, right, baby? We've been together 26? Short years. I know her so well. I know what makes her happy. I also know what makes her unhappy. And I find myself doing those things that make her unhappy all too often. But we have a relationship. I've gotten to know her, and she's gotten to know me, and we know how each other respond. And I know when she's coming back from a trip, I need to look around the house for dead flowers. For dirty plates, and if there's any food left in the refrigerator, I either better eat it or get rid of it. So one thing she doesn't like is when she prepares meals for me while she's gone, and I don't eat them. I've learned. I know her. It's no different in any other relationship on this earth and our Heavenly Father's relationship. To get to know God, to know what makes him happy, and to know what makes him unhappy. What displeases God and what pleases God. I would hope if you're a Christian and a true follower of Christ, you'd want to please the Lord, wouldn't you? If we're going to please our earthly relationship, we certainly should please our heavenly relationship. What pleases the Lord is knowing his word, keeping his commandments, walking the line. I don't know about you, but some people feel like Christianity is so restrictive. I find it the opposite. I find it so liberating. I find it so freeing that if I obey God, he blesses my life in ways I never thought. We're just so fleshly, it's sick. We need to be spiritual and do the things God tells us to do and honor him. Verse 5, but whoever keeps his word, truly the love of God is perfected in him. By this we know that we are in him. So he's saying here, whoever keeps his word, whoever follows the commandments, truly the love of God is in him. Not your love for God, it's God's love for you. And when you fully grasp the idea of how much God loves you, guess what? You want to honor him. You want to please him. You want to obey him. Truly, it's perfected, it's matured in you, the love of God, that you know God loves you. God's love is unconditional, isn't it? You understand that? There's nothing you can do to stop God from loving you. You can't say, God, stop loving me. You're loving me too much. He can't. He just must love you. And that love is perfecting you. And then you know you're in him. But notice what he says in verse 6. He who says he abides in him ought himself also to walk just as he walked. Just as who walked? Just as Jesus walked. Wow. So there's the example, isn't it? There's the thing that we can study. How did Jesus walk? How did Jesus respond to things? How did Jesus react to things? What did Jesus do a lot of? Fill in the blank. He did a lot of prayer, number one. Got up early in the morning and went and prayed. Right? He rebuked demons and didn't really ruff his feathers, did it? And we have Jesus with us. We have the Holy Spirit with us. We should not be ruffled. We have that kind of power. We need to abide in him, it says. He who says he abides in him ought also to walk just as he walked. The word abide means to remain, means to stay in. Look at this verse, John 15:4, which talks about being attached to the vine. We all know this area of scripture. Verse 4 says, abide in me and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit, look at, of itself, unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. Remaining in the Lord. Staying in that. Working on your relationship in such a way that you feel close to the Lord at all times, attached to him. He's the source. When you feel dry, when you feel parched, when you feel worn down, it's because you're not attached. You've got to come back into that relationship with him. Abiding in him so he can live through you. It was a couple of years ago at a men's conference. Some of the guys who were here actually were at this conference. One of my all-time favorite pastors was teaching for this conference. It was the first night of the conference. He did his main teaching. It was late. It was about 11 o'clock at night. And what we decided to do is go into a room, pastors and leaders, and just be able to sit down with this pastor who's been a pastor for years and just ask him questions. And it was so such an amazing time. One of those experiences in life where you go, I will never forget that. And we just threw questions. I mean, what do you do when this happens in your ministry? Or how do you do this in your relationship with God? Or what is your study time? What does your week look like? It's just bouncing questions. And just a gracious pastor would share from his heart. After about, 40, 45 minutes, maybe it was an hour. It went so fast. This pastor said, hey, it's late. I know you guys are tired. There's a room full of about 40 or 50 guys. And this pastor says, I want to pray for you guys. And I'm telling you, as sure as I stand here, this was an experience of my life, spiritually. As we closed our eyes, this pastor literally prayed and laid hands on every single man in that room. And I wish I could convey this to you, but literally with my eyes closed, I felt like the Lord Jesus was walking through that room, praying over us. Now, why do I share that? It was because it was an amazing experience. As that man's hand hit my shoulder and prayed, I just felt the love of God all over me. I felt the joy of God all over him. It's like, wow, this was so powerful. This was, must have been what it was like with the apostles. As they're sitting there watching Jesus, as he's talking and sharing with them. It was that kind of experience. Why do I share it? Because this man definitely abides in Christ. The power of God that was on this pastor was overwhelming to me and such a blessing. But it wasn't one of those things where I said, I'll never get there. No. I knew that if I too abided in Christ the way he did, that if I abide in Christ as much as I can, I too can have that same ability. And not so I can be, whatever. It's not about me. But it's being able to lay hands on someone and pray for them and then feel the power of God upon them. Just yesterday, I had a guy come by my house. I was back from the picnic. I was unloading my truck. He's on the other side of the fence. Hey, can I talk to you for a minute? So we got into this conversation. He was one of those door-to-door salesmen whom I love so much. But there was something about this guy that was different. There was something about him that just resonated with my spirit. So after our time together, I just could not wait. The whole time we're talking, I just could not wait to say, can I pray for you? And to be able to put my hand on this brother and pray for him in his life, coming out of Detroit, coming out of all this bad lifestyle. He's trying to make a life for himself. He's doing what he needs to do. And I just be able to lay hands on him and pray for him and to bless him. This is what we get to do as Christians. This is the opportunities that God gives to us. Do me a favor. Look for these opportunities. Don't wait for these opportunities to come to you. Go get them. Pray over your spouse. Pray over your kids. Pray over yourself. Anoint something in your life. Right? God, you have all authority has been given to me, Jesus says. Go therefore and make disciples. Lay hands on people. Pray for people. You can do this. I know some of you are going, I don't know what to say. Start with the name of Jesus. Lord Jesus, do a work in this person's life. Lord Jesus, do a work in my life. This is the reality that we have, abiding in him and being able to impact others. Verses 7 and 8, what time we got? All right. We'll just look at these last two, verses 7 and 8, and then we're going to enter a time of communion. I don't know about you, but these two verses are a little head-scratching, right? Brethren, I write no new commandment to you, but an old commandment, which you have had from the beginning. The old commandment is the word which you heard from the beginning. Again, a new commandment I write to you, which thing is true in him and in you, because the darkness is passing away and the true light is already shining. What is John saying? I'm not giving you a new commandment, and I am giving you a new commandment. What is he talking about? John's heart, this entire book, and the heart of John is the love of God. All right? What John is talking about, I am not, what's he say? I write to you no new commandment. The commandment to love people has always been around. That's what he's saying. I'm not giving you a new commandment. From the very beginning, it was about love. It hasn't changed. A new commandment I give to you is the same commandment to love. Here's the thing that's so cool about these two verses. God has told us to love from the very beginning. Christ came to show God's love. It's a new commandment because it's a fresh commandment. It's a commandment that should be vibrant in our lives. Jesus said, they will know you're my disciples, what? If you have love for one another. Oh, guys, if we fail in everything else but this, we've made it. If we can love other people, if we can focus on our love for others. The first commandment, right? Old Testament, Exodus 20, verse 3. You shall not have any other God before me. What is God saying? He's saying, love me. He's saying, put me first, right? Jesus talked about it in the book of Revelation. The church of Ephesus left their first love. They left their love for God. We're to be known by our love. We're to love one another. The cool thing about Revelation, when Jesus says, you've left your first love, the next verse says, remember therefore from where you've fallen. Remember therefore from where you've fallen. In your Christian walk, have you ever stumbled? In your Christian walk, have you ever made a mistake? Have you ever fallen? Have you ever gotten to that place where, man, that was a dumb thing to do? That's why my forehead's bald, because I keep doing it. The reality is, when you get knocked down, all you have to do is get back up. Just get back up. Remember from where you've fallen. Remember that place where you were before you fell and get back to that. Come back to your first love. Come back to that place where you can be used by God. Don't be kept down. Get back up. Remember, God is love. He's the source of our love. We need to love each other. There is no doubt in my mind that this young girl who took her life that there were people around her that loved her. There's no doubt in my mind. People cared for her, loved her. But there was something there that just didn't make that connection. And it happens in our lives. We kind of excuse it away, right? Well, they're just having a bad day. Or, well, they're going through a lot. I mean, this person was a very busy person. And this is what happens in the church today. We look at people who look down. They look discouraged. They look overwhelmed. But we just write off, say, ah, oh, they've probably got a lot going on in their life. Instead of going, can we talk? I'm just seeing something in your countenance. It's different. I'm blessed that I have people in my life. I was at my wife's office the other day, and one of her employees comes to me and says, what's wrong with you? I go, nothing. Well, you're not your bubbly self. I said, well, I can't be bubbly Rob all the time. No, you have to be. I said, okay. But at least there was someone that was willing to come up to me and say, what's going on with you? I would much rather have that than someone go, oh, he's in a bad mood. Don't get around him. Guys, we need to be honest. We don't have to cover it. Oh, I'm okay. I'm good. Don't worry. And inside, you're tore up. If someone's going to come to you, then you need to know that God is bringing someone to your aid. God's bringing someone to come alongside you. And to be honest, you know what? I'm having a bad day. I'm having a bad week. Things haven't been going well. I'm having a hard time paying my bills. I'm struggling. I'm not getting the amount of hours at work that I'm supposed to be getting. I'm not able to pay my rent. To be real. To say, I feel discouraged. I feel depressed. I'm blessed by that pastor who was willing to say, I'm discouraged. I love that. That's humility. Pride would say, hey, thanks for the prayer. God bless you too. And then him. But no, I was able to pray for him. There are people, maybe all of us, in here, they have something going on. But there's others in this room that have had the power of God on us so powerfully that he's gotten us through so much that we actually could sit down with someone and say, let's talk about it. Let's hear what's going on. Because here's the reality. Months from now, if something tragic happens to somebody in here, we're going to be like, nobody knew. Nobody took the time. And maybe God was knocking on our hearts. Maybe God was revealing something to you. God will show you, my friends. You just have to look. You just have to see. Oh, this was many years ago when Lou and I first moved here. I was at youth camp. I was at a youth camp. I wasn't a youth. I was still an old guy. But one of the entertainers was a magician. And after his act one night, I saw him on the other side of the room. And he and another pastor were talking, and something in my spirit said, that conversation is not a good conversation. Later the next morning, I went up to this man. I go, hey, I said, are you doing okay? And he looked at me in the eye, and he goes, I'm ready to quit. I'm ready to give it up. I said, why? He said, I'm just discouraged. I'm just beat up. And in that moment, young youth walks up with a couple of the counselors. They look at this man and they said, we just want to let you know that last night this young boy gave his life to Christ because of your performance, whatever you want to call it. He gave his life to Christ. He's been coming to these youth camps for 5 years. He hasn't been saved. This year he got saved. And they walked away. And that guy turned back to me. I said, you ready to keep going now? He's like, yeah. Life is discouraging, guys. Life is depressing. But in the midst of those things, there's hope. God can bring hope in the midst of your situation. You just got to go get it. You just got to receive. And we have to be on watch for these people in our lives. I don't want you to be a statistic. As Lou said, some marriages in this room have been on fire, have gotten back on track, and that blesses my heart. But I also know that there's marriages in here that are going, they're just putting on the shine. They're just putting on the Sunday morning. Yeah, we're good. Praise God. Hey, you want to go to a couples retreat? Nah, we're good with that. We don't need that. Opportunities are around you. Your opportunity might be sitting right next to you. Are we willing to be used? Do we know God enough? Because here's the reality. When someone's going through a difficult time, the enemy's blinded them to the reality of God. Right? Is anything impossible for God? No. Somebody in this room just needs to know, don't worry, God can change your circumstances. God can change your situation. So as we enter into a time of communion, this is what I want you to do. I want you to ask yourself, and maybe even confess before God, do I know you enough? Do I know you enough that I'm keeping your word, that I'm following in your steps, that I'm acting like Christ? There isn't a person in here, myself included, that couldn't know God a little bit more, don't you think? God is beyond finding out. We're never going to get to the last chapter and go, okay, I know everything about God. There's always more to find. So in this time of communion, let's make that be our prayer. God, I want to know you a little bit better. Help me to know you better this week, this day, this month. And I'm going to make myself available to you, God. So let's close in prayer and the ushers will get the elements. Father in heaven, we do thank you. I thank you for the heart of the Apostle John to pen these words as he was led by the Spirit to remind us that the way we know that we know you is by following your word. And we confess, sometimes it's hard. We see the standard written in the Scriptures. We see how we're to respond as believers. We sure wish it would just happen naturally, but it takes work. God, I want to say thank you for allowing us to be where we are today. Hopefully further along than we were yesterday. But we know there's more work to do. So first and foremost, we're going to look up to heaven. We're going to acknowledge you as God, the knower of all things, unlimitless power. Nothing is impossible for you. So even in this time of prayer, God, I pray for the people that are seated in this room. Whatever it is they have the greatest need of, Lord, I pray that you would show them that you are the answer. Maybe there's some dads in here that feel as though they haven't been the father that they know they should be. Perhaps there's some daughters in this room that are feeling a little bit on the outside, along the sidelines. God, draw them in. God, we pray that when we find the knowledge of you, that it's not head knowledge. That it's heart knowledge. To not just know you intelligently, but to know you intelligently and know you intimately. For we need you, God. And Lord, I pray for the prayers that are being lifted up as we spend this time to remember what Jesus did for us upon the cross. I pray that not only would we speak and ask, but also listen. To what's your answer? To listen to your response for us. You're such a good God. Bless this time of communion as we remember and focus our attention upon the redeeming power of Christ. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.